Well, John, you know, I've been asked that question a lot. I think there are a lot of variables that go into successful quarterback play. Leadership's one, and you know, if you start with the intangibles, there's the work ethic, there's the leadership, there's the ability to rally people, there's the ability to have to be able to command a room, the ability to handle adversity, all those intangible things you look for, and then the physical skill set, the arm strength, the athletic ability. You know, there's certain size, you know, height, weight, and speed parameters that ideally we look for. So there's any number of, you know, there's his playing history, the style of offense that he's come from. So all those things go into an obvious, you know, comprehensive evaluation of the position because it's so important. And so those are some of the things that we look for.
When you look at what Dak Prescott did last year, and it's pretty rare for a rookie to be able to come in and do that, especially where he was picked and that set of circumstances. How tough is it for someone to do what he did, and how much do you kind of not expect that to be the norm when you pick a rookie quarterback and think about whether you're going to plug him in or not?
Well, I think they were very fortunate. Their situation, I mean, I think he did an outstanding job. You know, he did an outstanding job. I think they did an outstanding job collectively of you know, putting him in a position to be successful, to execute and do the things that they wanted him to do and execute. And so, you know, to the degree that I'm surprised about that or that was expected, or, you know, you just, you don't know. I mean, what I think you're speaking to is the assumption that it's very difficult, and I think it's true, that it's difficult to play quarterback year one in this league because there's so many different things that a guy has to learn how to process that he didn't have to do, regardless of the offensive scheme that he played in. There is just a significant amount of additional things that he has to process at our level. And that's what, you know, one of the things that makes it difficult to play the position early in our league because, you know, guys have to learn how to do those things. And so it's rare that you get, you know, a guy to come in and play at a high level at the position early. But it's certainly possible, and I think he proved that last year.
Rick, you're part of a pretty historic trade so far in this offseason that actually affects this draft. It's the first time we had a chance to meet with you since the Osweiler trade. Can you walk us through how that trade happened and who approached who about making it?
Yeah, there's been a lot of conversation about whose idea it was, right, and who wants to take ownership of that. I think that they're just ideas that are floating around, and if you're open to them, I think you know they just kind of land in the right spot. So Sashi and I are obviously friends and have had conversations, just theoretical conversations about building football teams. And so that when you start with a relationship that way, you can have some conversation and you can explore ideas that may not, you know, be popular or may not be had ever been done before in the case of this one. And so you know, it was something that we talked about and had a lot of conversation about and decided that we would get together in Indy at the combine. We had breakfast, we had dinner, and just kept talking, and it worked out. So so that's basically how it happened.
Rick, when O'Brien addressed us after the season, he said that, and he said this in New England too after you guys lost to the Patriots. And
I'm sorry, what did you say, Brian?
When Bill O'Brien addressed us after the season, mm-hmm. and he said this in New England as well, after you guys lost to the Patriots in the playoffs, that one of the main things the team had to do was improve the offense, you know, and whether it was quarterback, whether it was the ability to score points on and on. You guys have re-signed three players, but you haven't signed any, you know, outside free agents yet. Obviously, you still have the draft coming up. How does this team improve the offense next season, especially with potentially Tom Savage at quarterback?
Well, I think when you go back and look, you know, at what we did last year in free agency, for example, you know, we went out and we signed Brock. We went out and we got Lamar Miller. We went out and we got Jeff Allen. We went out and we signed Tony. So we addressed the offense. And then in the draft, we draft Will in the first round. You know, unfortunately, you know, our center was hurt, you know, the second round pick, but that offensive center there. Then you look at what we did in the third round with Braxton, and then we needed a returner, so we go get Tyler in the fourth round. So that's a lot of offensive firepower that we added to the football team last year. And I maintain that it takes time for all of that to gel. And one of the things that I'm excited about Tom is Tom's been here. Tom understands the offense. He's been around these players. He knows the players. And I think another year in this system with all of those new parts that we added last year and an additional year of experience in the offense, understanding what the play call is designed to do, understanding what the options are in those particular play calls, and then everyone seeing the play, the defense, and the adjustments in the same set, you know, from the same set of eyes. I think that that's important to our offensive philosophy and to our offensive execution. And so I think that we will be better because of that.
Are you comfortable with Savage being a starter at work, other than injury, of course, but you like everything else about him?
I do, John. I do. I think he's proven that he understands this offense. I think he's proven that he can play at a high level in the offense. He's been injured, and so you know, he hadn't had an extended amount of time to do that. But I am comfortable with that.
There's talk because of spread systems and that it's harder for the quarterbacks today. What about the offensive linemen, that they don't when they play in those systems and they don't play the traditional offensive tackle role in college? They used to be so safe, and now they're not. Do you have to judge them differently than you used to?
No, I don't know that it's any different than any other position. I think that there is, and I would agree with you, there is more projection as it is for the quarterback at other positions because of the style of college football, right? So you used to be able to turn the tape on, and when more colleges were playing in more pro-style offenses, you could see the athletes executing the same things you were going to ask them to do when they got here. You don't see that as much at certain positions. And so very much like the quarterback position, some of those projections are a little bit more. But you're still looking for the skill set. And if you see the skill set, then it's our job when we get them here to develop them and to get them to do the things that we're going to ask them to do that they didn't have to do in their collegiate, you know, schemes.
You guys picked up the fifth-year option for Jadeveon Clowney, which was an expected scenario. Just your thoughts on his development and your plans for him in the future, as you guys now have him for under contract for a few more years.
Yeah, I was proud of JD last year. You know, I've said that. I think that everyone has always recognized his talent and you know, the explosiveness, the you know, his football instincts, all those things that make him you know, the great player that he is. He just had not had the opportunity again to have the extended play because of unfortunate injuries. And so I think last year what we saw was a glimpse of what he can be because he was available. And I think he will continue. I think he's hungry. I think he had a taste of it and what it looks like and what it feels like. And I think it's important to him, and I think he works. And I'm expecting big things from him moving forward.
Rick, so much of our discussion, so much of the discussion already so far today has been about the quarterback position. Do you feel any pressure to draft a quarterback in the first round? And if not, do you expect you'd probably draft one at some point this year?
Well, the answer to your first question is I don't feel pressure. And the answer to your second question is, as John has pointed out, we have two quarterbacks on the roster. And our intention is to go to camp with three. So at some point, we're going to add a quarterback. Okay, so we'll get that done before we report to training camp.
Rick, and obviously the 53-man roster, it all ties together. So whether you sign someone in free agency or you pick someone up in the draft, I mean, you're always, you know, adding, subtracting to your roster that way. But you guys are the only team who has not signed a free agent. Why is that? I mean, was there no one contractually who appeal to you? Was the talent pool not good enough? Why are you guys the one team out of 32 that has yet to sign a free agent?
Well, I think it goes in cycles, Brian. I think, you know, the first thing you do is you look at your football team, right? And so you try to get your guys under contract, and we were successful in a few of those guys, re-signing some of our guys. We lost a couple of other guys, and so that's the first thing you look at. And then as it relates to, you know, acquiring free agents from other teams, you know, we were in the game on a couple of guys, you know, that maybe didn't make it to the public domain, but that we were, and we didn't, you know, we weren't successful at signing. But you look at last year. I just went through all of the things that we did last year in free agency, and so we've always said that we will build through this process and augment via free agency. And I think if you look at the history, we've done that, and you know, very aggressively last year, and it just so happened that we didn't do it this year. So I don't think it's indicative of anything other than the fact that we had targeted who we targeted, and some of them worked out, and, you know, getting some of our guys back, and that's just kind of where we, you know, where we were with it this year. So
To piggyback Brian a little bit, it seems from the outside looking in that you've got a good professional relationship with Ozzie Newsome. Mm-hmm. He's kind of made an art of accumulating comp picks. Does that play in a part of the comp formula? Y'all not signing outside free agents, and with the departure of Boyer, Simon, and other guys.
Yeah, that's an ancillary benefit. That's a function of the system, right? So if you lose free agents, the system is designed to help clubs. We're always trying to maintain competitive balance in our league, and it's very important. And our rules are written as such that you try to reward the teams that performed poorly the year before with draft, positioning. And another way that's done is via free agency with the comp picks. And so it is something that we're aware of. It's not something that we set out to sit down and say, we're not going to do this so that we get comp picks. That's just not the way it works. We're aware of it, obviously, the way that the system works. To the degree that you can benefit from that, you benefit from it. But that's not a design thing that you do, or at least that we do.
Following up on the lack of free agent signings, do you feel under more pressure now to get specific guys in this draft because you got to get your talent somewhere?
No, I don't. I've said for years that I don't. You can't. I'm gonna say you can't. We try not to do anything in our draft valuation and in this process that is reflective of need, because I think when you do that, you end up overvaluing or misrepresenting a player's value because you are factoring into what your roster looks like. We try to evaluate the draft process strictly on talent, and we try to do that in a vacuum so that you don't overvalue players because of what your roster looks like, because these are long-term decisions that we're going to make next week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Hopefully these players come and they contributed to our team, some of them earlier than others, but certainly we would hope that these young players that we add to the football team next week are here for the long haul. And so you want to make sure that the value that you place on them and when you take them relative to what you think their contribution is going to be to the team is accurate. And I think you open yourself up to not being as accurate if you don't do it that way.
And how about your thoughts on the schedule that came out yesterday?
Well, I'll tell you what, we got to go play them, right? So it doesn't really matter how they line up. You got to go play. I like playing at home, the first to open up at home, and really that's the only one I really think about is that first one. And we've got, it's nice to have the players back in the building, right? So they came back in the building, and there's energy here. I think there's some excitement, from our team and our players, and we'll look forward to having a great process next weekend and adding those players in a few weeks and getting after it to get going on that first week.
Is your plan to replace Quentin Demps in the draft, or is you looking at someone already on the roster?
Well, I mean, we've got guys on the roster now. I will say this about this particular draft class at that position. It's probably the one of the strongest safety classes that I can remember. And I like the board in general. I think it's a very, there's some positions that are a little light. There's some positions, like I mentioned, at safety that are heavier than others. But the entire board, it's a very balanced board in the sense that, both offensively and defensively, there's some depth throughout the draft and throughout each round. So I like that about the board and certainly about the safety position as well. And I will say this, I typically start with applauding the efforts of the group, and I don't do that lightly. I think it's important to recognize we have an outstanding staff, in my opinion, of scouts and folks who work in this process and prepare for the draft. And I mean, our scouts, and I even mean the administrative folks, Amber Davies. I never talk about her, or Kaylee, Haley Kovar, who's our administrative assistants in college and pro scouting, with all of the coordination and all of the meetings and all of the calls to the agents to get everything organized and the way that our process runs. We've had some time to develop it, to refine it, and I think it's running pretty smoothly, but I just applaud the efforts of all of our scouts and folks that work in this process, because I do think that it's been a good process again this year, and I'm looking forward to next weekend because of it.
Rick, when you send out scouts to pro days, and I know sometimes you send positional coaches and coordinators out there, how important is it for the organization to have coaches and along with your scouts out there together looking at prospects?
Well, it's extremely important, because it doesn't matter if scouts bring in players that don't fit the scheme, it's not a winning solution. So scouts and coaches have to have conversations. They have to understand. The scouts have to understand what the coaches are going to ask the guys to do. And they have to understand the skill sets and the traits and characteristics that are predictors of success, you know, so that the coaches can get the best out of the athlete. And so it's got to be a combined effort. And you know, our coaches have done a nice job. We introduced a draft class to them in February before the combine, and they jump right in. And some of them, need to go out and do some additional work with some of these players, whether it's classroom work to make sure that they have a good idea of what the mental capacity is or what the football acumen is from players, or sometimes it's work on the field that they need to do to further solidify what they think the vision for the player is, because that's the one thing that we really try to do is we try to get specific with respect to what we think the guy's vision is for our football team. And so the more communication that happens between, you know, coaches, scouts, the better we can all get that, again, seeing the thing from the same lens, from the same set of eyes, and understanding what we're asking them to do and making sure that we all are on the same page about what that looks like.
Rick, in talking about last year's draft class, you mentioned how it takes time to gel, and looking ahead to potentially this year's draft class and the lack of outside free agents that you've signed thus far, it's a tough balance between that. Is there an anticipation that you still need to add current NFL players before the season starts because of that?
I don't know that there's a need for that. No, I don't feel that at all. I think, we had a meeting this morning to kind of just fine-tune and look at the board and have some scenarios and talk through some things, and one of which was a roster discussion about numbers and kind of where we are and anticipation of rookie mini camps and anticipation of training camp. And so I don't feel a need to do anything other than add, how we're adding, what organically looks right for what we're doing and trying to get accomplished.
Well, one other thing, with the team hitting the field in about a month, have you spoken with Vince Wilfork definitively about his plans for the future?
I have not talked to Vince since last season. My expectation is that Vince is not playing anymore, but I have not specifically talked to Vince, no.
Rick, you brought up about the safety class. What do you think about this quarterback class?
I think it's a good quarterback class, John. I mean, the numbers are what they are, and I think as you look through the group, it's a lot of this draft. It's an interesting class, in my opinion, because there, like I mentioned before, there's some depth across the board at various positions. But in those positions, there are different kinds of players. You pick your flavor now. Whatever type of player you like at most positions, there's an example of that kind of player. So there's a lot of diversity in this draft, and it's just a matter of, in a lot of respects, in this draft, it's going to be beauties in the eye of the beholder. It's what is that vision for that player that we think he can come in and do for our football team, and that's a part of that's a part of the evaluation process, but. Really, for this particular draft class, I see that at multiple positions.
Rick, are there enough offensive linemen in this draft? That's one of the things that some people have been wondering about, if there are enough quality people, maybe as far as guys that could maybe be early starters or contribute or push for a job right away, maybe even especially at the tackle position.
Yeah, I would probably characterize the offensive line group as a little light, just as I talked about the safety group being heavy. I think I would tell you that I'd say the opposite about the O-line group.
Rick, Bill's been coaching the Texans for 3 years now, and I think his first 2 years at the end of the year, there was a lot of, rumors that, your position was in trouble and you're still here as a GM. Last year at the end of the season, there was a lot of talk about Bill, and he's
Who was talking about that? You were talking about that?
Not me. National media, reports, okay. Sources, all that stuff, all the good stuff. Last year at the end of the season, there was a lot of talk about Bill, and he's obviously still here. How do you feel about the job Bill has done in his 3 years leading the team, and how has your guys' relationship continued to evolve, and you know the two of you guys working together and completing that vision? It's obviously been a work in progress.
Yeah, it's a work in progress, Brian. I just think, generally speaking, you look at our organization, and what we are attempting to do is to be a consistent winner. And to be a team that represents the city of Houston in a way that everybody can be proud of, and to win a championship, okay? So I think we have done a lot of that. You know, we've been consistently winning here. We've won two division championships. We won four out of the last six. So we're doing that. We haven't won the championship, and that's what everybody expects. That's what we expect, and that's what we're working to do. And so I think that's the context of how we look at it. Bill and I think when you look at what we've done, together over the last 3 years, I think it's a part of that success, And so it's not by any stretch of the imagination enough, because the championship is the end all to be all, and that's why we're in this business, and that's what we're committed to do, and we're working every day to do that. So we don't pay a lot of attention to what other folks are saying. I think it's just important to be consistent in the building and to work, to be in concert, and making sure that our coaches and scouts understand what we're looking for, and that our folks that are executing all of these processes, whether they be what we're doing in the weight room or how we're developing our draft process and preparing for that, that everybody's on the same page and moving forward, and that everyone has a vision of what we're looking for and what we're trying to get accomplished. And I think we do a good job of that.
Rick, you talk about winning championships, and a year ago at about this time, you'd made moves and you were able to say that you were closer to winning a championship than you were when the season ended. Can you honestly say that you're closer to winning a championship now than you were when you walked off the field in Foxborough?
Well, I would tell you this, Jerome. We haven't walked out on the field. We just started our off-season program, okay? I think we finished with the top defense in football. We've got those guys, most of those guys coming back. I think, as I mentioned before, we added a bunch of talent on the offensive side of the ball last year that I think takes time, so I think we will be better. But last year doesn't matter in this business, and that's the thing about it. Each year is an entity unto itself, and so what I will tell you is that I think I see a committed group of players working right now to make sure that we are better. But relative to what we did last year, doesn't matter. It's every year it's this league, and we've had 30 guys come in over the last month or so. One of the things I talk to these draft prospects about is about how it works in this league. This league is not about how you get in. It's not about what you did last year. It is about working every day, stacking good days on top of good days on top of good days, and good decisions on top of good decisions on top of good decisions. That's how you do it in this league. So it doesn't matter about last year. It matters about this year, but I'm confident that this group will work that way, and I'm confident that we'll be better. We'll play better.
And so you feel that just with the addition of what you expect to get next weekend in the draft, that you'll have a championship-level squad?
Jerome, I do. I think we'll be good, and I think we'll continue to look to add. We are always looking to add talent to this football team. It's not just reduced to free agency and the draft. We are constantly looking at what's available, whether it is what's available on the street or what's available via trade. We're constantly trying to retool and look at this roster to improve it. But I think we've got a good football team, yes.
I know you guys pick pretty far down in the draft, but right now, do you have either a guy or a position in mind, or do you go more pick by pick and just see who goes off the board in front of you?
We have the board valued, okay, and stacked based on value, and so we'll see how the draft unfolds, and there are players that we like at certain positions at certain values, and that's just kind of just a function of how the thing plays out. When you're in the 20s, it has to kind of clear itself out for a little bit before you even get an idea of what it looks like. So we've got it valued, and we feel pretty good about the way we've got it valued and the way we got it stacked, and we'll see how it unfolds on Thursday night as it relates to the first round.
Hey, your best round's been the first round. Some teams don't do so well in the first round. It seems kind of obvious that teams should, but what is the key to having consistent production out of your first round picks?
Well, I don't know if there is anything different about the – obviously the value of the first round is significant, and it represents obviously the highest value. So you want to be very diligent about your decisions in the first round, and you want to be very clear about, again, what that vision looks like and what that player is going to do for your football team. And, you want to mitigate as many risks as possible with your first round picks because of the value being where it is. And so – I like to think that that's consistent throughout the entire draft. Obviously, it isn't, so first rounders are important, and you're right, we've been fortunate that way, and hopefully we'll continue that trend here next week.
You had a chance to interact throughout the draft process with a lot of the quarterbacks, some of the guys that are rated very high. What's the impression of some of these guys just in terms of maturity, what they can do when they get up on the board, and talk with you all about what they know about the game and just the tape?
Yeah, I don't do much of that, Aaron. I don't really comment on specific prospects. You know, we've talked to them, and we've talked to a bunch of these guys, not just the quarterbacks. I think there's some good football players that are available, and hopefully we add, seven, eight, six of them, however many we end up with next week, and they're all productive players for us.
Rick, you learn more about the draft every year. Bill learns more about it each year he's been here. How has his role, the football coach's staff's role, evolved working with you in the draft process over the years?
You know, it's the way that it's evolved, I guess the most impactful way that it's evolved is, again, the understanding of what coaches look for and our scouts understanding that, so that we are identifying the right players. I think that's the thing that is probably the most valuable thing that you have with experience together, is that those conversations, that communication gets more and more tight, so that the scouts understand really exactly what the coaches are talking about. So the longer you can be together, the longer that you can have those conversations and people start to get on the same page that way, the more productive your drafts can be.
Rick, it's really easy to say, you know, a GM should trade up in the first round. It's a lot harder to do it. You haven't ever done it much. You did for Will Fuller last year for one spot. What is your philosophy about the value of trading up, how difficult it is as a GM to, you know, move from, let's say, 25 to 15, 10, and what you have to give up in return, just your overall GM philosophy of that?
Well, I think, number one, we value picks. Right, and so if you're moving up, you've got to have a couple things. You've got to have a specific player targeted, and you have to be willing to give up, you know, picks to acquire to acquire that player. So just philosophically speaking, I think that's really the way you look at it. And you're right, we haven't done that very often. And so I wanted to make sure we got Will last year. So again, I had a player targeted last year, so I moved up. So I haven't had the occasion to do that. Very often. Now, in other parts of the draft, I have, and we have done that, and we've been more aggressive in other places in the draft. And so that's really, philosophically speaking, what it amounts to. And, if you've got a player that you think can provide a specific thing for your football team, and you know that you've identified that, and you know he's the guy and the only guy that can do it that way, then I don't think that there's anything wrong with packaging picks and whatever you need to package to go get the guy, so long as it doesn't on the back end. You never want to try to acquire something and then you're all of a sudden you're less in another area, because you just don't want to do that. So there's a balancing act of all of that.
Let's go back to your first round picks. The vision you talked about, that the scouts and personnel people got to have about what the coaches want. You've had two staffs that obviously know how to develop these guys y'all brought in. How important has that been to where all these guys are still on the roster, other than Okoye, who still started 4 years?
Yeah, it's vitally important. I mean, player development is something that I don't think gets talked about enough. And that is and that's not only just in the coaching, that is in the athletic training, that's in the strength and conditioning, that's in the nutrition, that is, mentally, psychology, that speaks to the total player. And we spend a lot of time thinking about that. We spend a lot of time talking about that, trying to develop those processes to help players evolve and develop. Whether you're talking about as a football player or also as a man, and one of the things that I really enjoy about our first round picks, I've watched these men develop and grow as men, and watch them in their families, and just watch them kind of come into themselves, not only on the football field but in life, and that's been fun to be a part of that process as well. So it's important. I think our coaches do a nice job of developing players, and we talk about the collective bargaining agreement and some of the limitations that are placed on our coaches with respect to the time that they have during the off season to work with these guys. But I think we maximize that time that we do have. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.